talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. We're going debating. We're going to debate very loud, and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club. And we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on. Today, the Exchange Club.
The Exchange Club, Scott Spears, filling in. Well, I'm here every Exchange Club, but usually I'm Charlie. You know what's interesting? I never thought about that till just now. This show, for a long time, was myself, Charlie Evers, and Marge Hazlett.
Oh.
And you know all these people.
I do.
Yeah, and Marge, of course, the late Marge Hazlett, mm-hmm. passed away back in February.
Very sad.
And we have not filled that seat yet in deference to Marge at this particular point, because we like Marge so much. And Charlie just not feeling energy-wise what he once was, but, you know, he'll work through that. Charlie's right. worked through a lot of things in his life, and we miss him, but we'll hope he's back. But yeah, I did not realize till recently that you had connections to both of these people.
Yeah. It's like fate brought us together.
Is that what fate? Oh, this is fate? Oh, my God. Fate is ugly. So here we go. Who are you talking to on the break there? I didn't ask you.
Oh, it was Amy.
Oh, you're talking to Amy?
I told you she texted me back, yes, because I needed someone to save my character for my high school character from you. And
I think that ship
has
sailed.
I think that Amy would be honest, but I think that she would say, you know, accurate things about me. Because you didn't know me in high school.
No.
And for the record, we're really only like 2 years apart, but actually like a year in age. So it's not like you're that far behind me.
You had to slip that in, didn't you?
I did, because you're saying 87, which was not true. I'm not 50.
Well, I don't know.
I'm 40.
Some people lie about their age.
You know, sometimes
the genie's out of the bottle now.
And I'm sure Amy has the same issue, but because we both think that we don't look our age, but I still get carded sometimes. I'm not kidding you.
Like at the nursing home when you go in, they card you? Yeah. Is that what happens?
Like if I need to, like, for lottery tickets.
Nobody cards you.
No, I realize, seriously.
They think you're under 21?
Yes.
Oh, man, they need to see their oculist. They better. Do you say what?
Oh, my gosh. Amy is texting in to save me. Okay, so I'm going to have you read this because it's definitely directed to you. It says
me?
Scott. Yes.
Well, Amy. No.
Uh-huh.
Let's see here. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I like Amy. Amy and I are...
Why are you not reading what she said?
Well, I don't know if she wants me to read it on the air.
Yes, she's telling you.
Oh, telling me to read this
on
the air?
Yes, I'm telling you to read it on the air because I know.
Amy,
yes, this is
Charlie's daughter.
Yes, who knew me in high school.
Okay. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Amy says, Abby was the nicest, cutest, and most popular girl in school. Everyone liked Abby. She was nice to everyone.
Oh, see... And I was trying to tell you that earlier. I'm like, I didn't say any of the other things, but I said I would not have tried to make an enemy. And you think I'm so mean.
But what happened to you in the preceding years?
Life.
That's what happened. Well, you know, it's one of those things. But no, I would believe anything Amy said. Amy's great.
I know. This is what I said. I'm like, I need to pick someone who is going to be honest.
But I don't know.
Who knew me?
But she might be trying to cover for you. I mean, honestly, Amy would be the type of person who would try to save somebody's character who she knew was flawed.
I think she'd be honest. Like, she knew me well enough, for sure.
Okay.
If she didn't like me, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, let's get a hold of Amy.
No, I think she likes you. I mean, I think she says nice things about you, but I don't know if they're accurate, because I think Amy is such a nice person that she would say nice things about anybody, because she would not want to offend. Like, you know, if I had Mussolini here, I think Amy would say, you know, well, he was okay, because she'd want to protect him. I could have said Hitler, and then we'd have really been up the creek. But no, am I saying bad stuff? I mean, is this coming off bad?
Yes. You say, like when I say things about it. Because I'm like, you know, I was really nice in school. I would have not, I told you, I truly would not have tried to make an enemy for anything.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Like, I feel like I was nice to everyone. I don't feel like I was trying to be ever... Like,
well, I'm not
blatantly
saying,
rude to people
I,
or anything
no,
like
that. I didn't. And
yes,
I didn't
you
go,
kind of said those
no,
things.
No, I didn't go. No, I just said that I think, had I known you in school, I think we would probably pretty much have the same relationship that we have now.
Maybe.
Yeah. Which? How would you define this?
But if you would have met me in high school, I wouldn't have had this banter with you.
Oh, what would we have done in high school?
I don't know. I don't think I would have gone back and forth like this. I was nice.
You would have
like
apologized.
Nice. Probably.
Boy, how do we get back to that?
Did I upset you? Like, what did I
do? How do we get to that? How do we get to that?
I think maybe apologies now are like in the form of Diet Cokes.
Well, no. It's different. Know, listen, and it's interesting because, you know, I rarely listen to the things we do here on the station, but yesterday I had a long trip to go on, and the hour that you did yesterday was replaying.
Oh.
And I was listening to it, and the funny thing is, I thought it was a great description, because usually you're on with Michelle Whitaker, mm-hmm. who owns Stewart's, mm-hmm. and we haven't done that for a while, mm-hmm. and we didn't end up doing it last, we promoted it and then didn't do it, but that's okay, we'll fix Stinks. That, yeah. we'll fix it, we'll yep. get it back on the track, and the thing about it is, and you still haven't promoted the episode number 9, even though you said in that show I'm going to do that.
I did, I know. Gosh.
It's the age.
That's what's happening.
Right, so anyway. I was describing to you, which I think it applies here again. You said, why do you say she's the nice one and I can't be the nice one? And again, in like a tin type fashion, here's why she's the nice one. She does not, we've never had an argument. And I've known you both almost exactly the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. Her and I have never had an argument. We've never had a cross word. She's never called me a name. I've never called her anything. She doesn't even critique anything I do. But yet you, on the other hand, as people will have heard, you know, case in point, the last hour, you argue with almost everything I say.
That is not true. Here we go. So you're making me argue with you now. Damn. Just to prove your point.
Checkmate.
I see where you're going with that. Yeah. But I didn't argue with you at school. Here's the difference, because, like, Michelle will just kind of, like, although she does kind of call you out on things, like at school she did, when you would say things, she'd be like, but, like, she would say, and I would say, you know, Scott, you're full of it.
Like, is that what you said?
There's the difference.
You said yes. I was full of it?
You're full of beans.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't recall that.
I mean, I maybe just said, but we would always laugh. Clearing up the fighting. We never fought. Like, we would always just...
No,
I would
not like real arguments.
Call you on it, and you would call me on my stuff.
Right.
Right.
Which was often.
No, because I would never make up the stories that you did.
No, but you used to force me into doing things that my moral character would not allow me to do.
Like what? What did I force you to do?
You used to make me lie.
Get snacks? No, I didn't make you do anything. You were like the professional snacker. I had to go get snacks, like, you know, across the street or something.
Right.
I had to bring you things or whatever to keep you happy.
What do you mean you had to? I didn't have a cattle prod there. Like, you better go do this right now. I'm going to shock you.
Yes, I think people hear. If I did not bring the snacks, look what happened. We had to have, like, verification.
Here's why I think you need therapy. Here's where...
Well, there's lots of reasons
why. I don't doubt it. But here's where I think you need therapy. Because, as I said yesterday, like, when you bring a pop or when you would go get pretzels or whatever you made blueberry dumplings, gravy. People have heard this on the radio because I talk about it. Mm-hmm. But you always try to couch it in, like, you didn't do it to do it for me. You did it. Oh, I happened to be in the neighborhood. I happened to be at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I just whipped No, that's a lie. Because at some point you have to make a decision in your mind that I'm going to go get in that line. I'm going to put the money out of my pocket. I'm going to take that to where he is. You have to make that decision at some point. So that is... I mean, you could always say no.
But that's nothing for me. Like, that's not a big deal. Here's the thing. If there's little things I can do like that are going to make people happy or turn their day around and be like, oh my gosh, that was really nice. Like, I'll do it. Because it's nothing to me. Why would I not do little things? Like,
I don't know. It stopped for about a month. Why didn't you do little things for about a month?
I was busy at home trying to figure out how to balance, like, working from home and being a homeschool mom from home and all the things in between that suddenly were thrown at me. After that month, and I got adjusted and life turned around.
And then here we are 2 days in a row.
I've got a handle on it.
And you missed this, because we used to see each other every day.
I know. Not here, but at school.
Right, at school.
Yeah, I do miss it. There's a lot I miss. Like, I miss the kids at school and, you know, the banter.
Just say it.
What?
Who do you miss? You miss me the most, isn't that right?
The most.
Yeah.
Out of everyone.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just because of Michelle's schedule, mm-hmm. you and I certainly spent more time together.
Yeah, especially toward the end, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was touch and go there for a while.
There were some rough days there.
No, because Scott covered for me when I needed him to. There was lots of, my schedule got very busy there for, what, like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. It was just kind of a lot of things at once, and you were great.
Oh, I think it's the first time you've ever said anything nice about me.
Not true.
Usually it's, you know, you want things, and you force things, and you do this, and yeah.
What do I ever want from you?
Oh, you to cover and to lie and to do all these things.
Right, because I ask you to do those things.
You do. And I did them. Funny. Even though it was against my better judgment.
Oh, right.
I did them.
Right. Oh,
but life goes on. And here we are.
Here we are.
Because right now we're currently not working together, but yet right. We're still friendly.
Are you going to go back next year?
You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about that on the air?
Well, just a general question. I mean, it's not like I'm not like saying you have to or you don't have to.
Are you
to.
Going back next year?
I am. Yeah.
But already done. Done deal.
Yes. Yes.
Starting in October?
I'll probably try to go back more toward the beginning of the school year, I think. Mm-hmm. Not in October.
So you're excited?
Yeah, I think so.
So what about our other? Is she coming back? Have you asked her this question?
No, we haven't really had this. I would hope so. I think it probably depends. I know she's hoping to be there more, so we'll see.
Does it start in October again, or does it start?
It will start in October. But I think that was part of the problem last year. The whole thing was very slow starting because it was a new program. There,
well, do you want me to come back?
Well, sure.
Well, I'll weigh that right now. If you say you want me to come back, maybe I'll.
Of course, I would. I would love for you to come back.
It wouldn't be the same, would it?
What do you need? We need to like start off and pretend like we don't know each other again.
No. I'm saying if I did not come back. And you had have to fill that spot with somebody else.
Yeah, no, I don't want to fill it with anybody else.
Can you imagine?
No. The horror.
Well, can you imagine somebody not being there who is going to say the things that I say every day? And
right. What if we just didn't mesh? What if we had this person that I had to work with every day, and I was like, oh, we don't mesh.
And there's a good chance that you might not mesh.
And we couldn't have, like, random therapy sessions or...
You know what's funny? And this is true, and this is an honest thing that I've said before. For some reason, the three of us who did not know each other at all, never had met, really. I mean, you and her had kind of, but...
Well, we had, like, circles of friends that were kind of the same, but we
not
never,
really...
No, not, like, one-on-one or had conversations.
And literally, within a week... Mm-hmm. It was friendly.
Yes, for sure.
And opened up to, like I said, buying other people things and a Christmas party that happened on Valentine's Day and radio visits like this and podcasts. And it's really interesting to think about that because we yet have not known each other a year.
Yes. And it is strange to think about. I remember the whole radio thing because Michelle and I tried to tell you from the beginning, like, oh, we would do it. Like,
Right. We had conversations about that.
We would kill the radio.
Yeah.
And you didn't believe. You're like, no, you would clam up. And then the first time I came on, you were like, oh, all right.
It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
And I think the first time was accidental because I think you came in the first time telling a story, wasn't it?
Yes. It was when I was going to do my Women of AT&T show.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Webcast.
And then it was... Great. And then the podcasts were super fun because those were much more open and weren't personal, and those were fun. So, yeah, it was interesting because that, I don't know what you call it, but it was an interesting mesh because it did work.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was fate, too.
Why do you think it worked? This is good self-examination now that it's over.
Three of us have very different personalities, I think, but there's always that underlying, like, I don't know what it is. What is there's like a... What is it? What is the word I'm looking for? Not connection, but like similarity or maybe we all
contempt.
Kind of have the same... Yeah. Values or... I don't know, because you're kind of out there. Michelle and I are a lot alike in those things, but then you have this whole different... Coldness?
I don't know
what that word is. I'm at a whole loss for words right now. Yes, because... Did that come off wrong?
Yeah. I had a cold.
Now, you admit this. You admit this.
I'm not emotionally engaged a lot of times. Sure.
Or maybe it works because Michelle and I are both talkers and you're a listener.
That is true.
Right. You don't share a lot.
I don't. No, and that's why they turned into therapy sessions because you guys were telling everything and I was saying nothing.
Yeah. That's true.
Which is true to this day.
It is. But you prefer that.
Yeah, I do prefer
that. That's the thing. Like, it's not like we're not giving you... It's like we're, like, cutting you off and not giving you a chance to talk.
No, but then there became a problem along the way. Because at one point, I think when we did start to define ourselves as more friends than coworkers, you guys got angry that I wouldn't share.
Well, were we angry, or well, were we just that
it, like... It was like a whole show at one point. I remember that.
Why are we the ones always... And maybe that's a, you know, like male versus female thing. We're a little more open, I think, in general.
I just got nothing to complain about.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you led the perfect life.
I do. I lead the perfect life. No regrets, no problems. Everything's fine.
That's the way to be.
Perfecto. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you two have, you know, your little picadillos, but that's okay.
Listen, you know, I can't. That's who we, that's why we are who we are.
But it is, it was always fun because whatever the subject was, which usually was after everybody had left.
Right.
It was, they were fun conversations. Because a lot of times in those little therapy sessions, there's just listening and... But there was actually, I think, a lot of things got accomplished. There was like a sensibility of this person's not just saying this to be mean or angry or whatever.
Right. No, I agree. We should probably clear that up, right? Because we didn't always just do this like with all the kids there that we were working with. We did have sessions.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
I know,
like, maybe it sounded bad. Yes, we were. It was always. I mean,
obviously,
like,
we did the work
before or after. Yes. We were doing what our things were. But yeah, I think that it's good. I think that there's a reason why we all kind of ended up in the same class together.
And it would be different if one of us was not there next year.
It would be different.
It would be. I don't think somebody could come in.
No. No.
I mean, I think you could be nice to that person, but I think it would be different.
Right.
Because once you establish, it's hard to...
Right.
It's like a table.
And the way the rooms have moved, like I shared with you yesterday, that's going to be an adjustment, because we had great teachers there, too.
That is true. And we, toward the end, when I was doing all the work, as you said, the problem was, what would you laugh at that for?
All the work?
Most of it.
That was your job, though.
I don't think either one of you were showing up at that point.
What are you talking about?
I was there alone.
Oh my gosh. That is 100% not true.
Every so often you show up with a pretzel. And
oh gosh,
I would.
You were so crazy. I had like a commitment with work one night and I had to leave early.
I'm not denying.
And then it was. But you were. Like,
oh, no, I'm saying you had things to do.
Busy life.
Yeah. But it was fun. And maybe I'll come back.
Isn't it strange, though, how busy we all were, and now it's like everything is slowed down?
A little bit, but, you know, it's, I don't know.
For me, it was necessary. Like, it stings. There's things that I miss, and like I said the other day, baseball and things aren't happening, but, like, it's a really nice slowdown.
Yeah, but don't you like, I don't know, it may pick back up here.
I think it will. It will. Like, it's not going to last forever. It will pick back up. My kids will be right involved again, and I'll be running around like a crazy person and trying to balance work and mom and all of that again soon.
But you know what? Everything still got done. That was the odd part.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, I remember in February when we did the big eat-out thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was in the middle of bad weather. Mm-hmm. It was in the middle of school. It was in the middle of sports seasons.
Yep.
It was in the middle of everybody else had another job.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the middle of all this, and yet it would still happen.
Yes.
So I guess you just balance it.
Right. It's just less of a balancing now. It's like we can go out to eat. So I think the things that you do have just shifted altogether.
Right, because they've shut the doors.
Yeah.
Now today you can go sit outside if you want.
I was wondering, because then it's next Thursday, right? We can go eat in.
Is it?
The 21st, 25th, I think.
25th.
Oh, is that the 20th? Okay, so maybe we're okay. I was thinking 21st. I'm never going to keep all the dates because they don't make sense to me. So.
Are you excited to go to a restaurant? Are you going to be one of those people who go in with a mask and sit in the partition area?
I'll do what's required of me, but I don't think it's first thing on my list is to go eat at a restaurant, maybe. You know, I don't think I'll be like, I need to go to a restaurant on that day. No, I'm overcooking. Like, I've never cooked so much in my life as I have right now. But it's been nice, though. We've had so many dinners at the table. I mean, almost every night, you know, we're having dinner around the table with the kids, and I love that. Because, you know, when you're... Before, it's like, what crockpot meal can I come up with so that everybody can eat at different times? Because we're all filtering in at different times. And so it's been nice. I have loved all of that. I hope that aspect of it doesn't change completely.
Probably will.
I know. But maybe not right away. We'll be able to ease into it, you know? So, like, those dinners that are 7 nights a week right now, you know, will be, like, 5 nights a week. And then...
What have you done to get through this time? To keep your sanity? Your own peace of mind?
I I've been really busy. Like I said, I really don't know how I juggled it all before, honestly. Although I've spent time doing things around the house more. But I, again, like you said, it still got done last year. I still had flowers out last year. Like I'm spending my days doing those now. I don't know how I did it, but it all got done. I've been doing work around the home, and I've organized things, and I've cleaned stuff out, and I've done different things. But I guess I've always done it before. I don't know. I don't know how it's always happening.
You just did it faster.
I did it different. Spent different time.
Do you like ferns? I find a lot of people buying ferns all of a sudden. Why do people buy ferns?
I don't think they're pretty. I don't like ferns.
At all.
But it's weird because we were out twice, and Steve's like, should we get a fern? I was like, I don't want a fern. No. I'm good without a fern.
Well, see, maybe you should get a fern.
I like pretty flower. If I'm going to have flowers and hanging, baskets around my house, I love, the color. That's why I get them.
Do you have any garden tips?
No, because I had told you I have this duck that laid, or goose that laid the eggs.
You've done it in the past. Do you have any garden tips from the past?
My thing that I don't do, I don't ever buy the perennials or the flowers that come back every year because I have horrible luck with them coming back.
So I thought it was annuals.
I think annuals are the ones that you buy every year. So, there's a yearly.
Oh, see, that's a screwball
thing.
But
then perennial, I know, but I think that's what it is. So, I only buy the ones that you know aren't going to come back because I have you spend more for the ones that are going to come back. And then I have bad luck. It's probably just me. There's probably a secret to it, but I have bad luck with them coming back.
What would you say your strength is in life? Not gardening, obviously. Not cooking.
Momming. And, I like baking.
No, not mom. You can't put momming in there. So, let's try another one. Like something artsy. That you would do?
I don't know. I'm really creative. I like home remodel projects. I'm pretty good at that. If I don't know how to do it, then I just YouTube it and figure it out.
Like what? Fixing the toilet or something like that?
Well, that's not my favorite thing to do.
Have you done that?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
I would pay to see that video.
But I've done, stripped last year. I, stripped the steps. I have seven steps going up and then a little landing and then more steps going up. So I strip those and I sanded them all down and I stained them and put wallpaper between the two. I love doing little projects like that.
Do you think you have some OCD?
Yes.
Yeah.
That seems asked this question and you already knew the answer.
Well, I do because I've seen you have this little OCD problem. Yes. Now, why? Where does that come from?
It's just a control thing. There's so many things that I think for my life, and it didn't develop until I went through my first divorce. And I felt like things were out of whack, so I had to have it completely in order. The chaos right now just makes me very uneasy.
This might take some time, but what did you learn from your first divorce?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, we were
friends. To not be in control.
So, no. I dig control more now. I need more. I think that's my...
So you didn't learn that. That was just an affect.
Yeah, because I think I had this whole, not good enough feeling after we got divorced. So it was I had to do everything better. So I had to,
So why did you get divorced?
Do better. Infidelity. On his part.
Oh, you didn't even, hesitate there.
No.
Just let it rip.
Beat around the bush.
Let it rip.
I don't care. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. But
how'd you find out?
She called me.
Oh, she called to tell you that it was going on.
Yeah, every detail.
Well, right from the horse's mouth.
Yep.
And you said, I'm done.
No, actually, we didn't. We tried counseling and we tried to make it work, and it just didn't. And
why does counseling never work? And I'm not saying people shouldn't go, but I've heard so many stories that counseling just doesn't work.
I am 100% behind counseling. I really, truly am, and therapists. I think it's great for people, but it only works for as long as you're going to be honest. If you are going to go in
honest?
There. I was very honest, but I don't think that he was honest. I don't think he was as open-minded. There's people that just think it's baloney, right?
Did he ever say why he did his thing?
No, not
really. Did he apologize?
I think so, yeah, because we tried to make it work. It was kind of we were high school sweethearts. We were very young when we got together. Like I said, we kind of fell in that, went to high school, graduated high school, went to college, finished college and got our jobs. And then we got married. And that was what you were supposed to do. And in the order you're supposed to do it. So we were just young. And we were better. We would have been better friends. We'd have been better off friends. So, you say you need to get out before things get bad. And while things got bad, we patched them up. We got better. And then we're maybe this isn't our thing.
I'm glad you've picked that up from me, because that's a rule in life I like for everybody to follow. Leave on a high note. Don't wait for it to sink.
It just doesn't always work that way, unfortunately. With my second marriage, it sunk
Right, but we found out why you hung around for that one.
Of course.
Right, but there was no infidelity there, was there?
No.
Okay.
I mean, not that I'm aware of.
Well.
Now hearing
no phone calls.
No, nothing.
No phone calls.
No, it was a much different problem.
You know, that is an interesting thing because I think the number one cause of divorce is infidelity.
Which stinks. That's hard because it really like hurts people on so many different levels. Like it wasn't just that trust that was broken. I mean, it was like because automatically for me, and I think with a lot of people too, in working through it, like they think it's a problem with them. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, why was I not enough? Why was I not good enough? Why was I, you know?
Did you find an answer?
No. I think I still struggle with that on a lot of levels between like two failed marriages, obviously, but you just got to go on and
be. Interesting you cough right after those.
You're making me choke a little bit. So, well, there's a time for that 1 minute break or no?
No. Okay. We got 15 here. Great. We're 15 left.
Great.
And a lot of questions can get in 15 minutes.
How did this turn into like
a
personal interview?
Is it?
Kind of feels that way.
Well. It's a journalist in integrity that I have to keep going here.
Oh, because you're a listener.
I'm a listener.
Okay.
This is pretty much how we do.
So that's my life in a nutshell.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. What else is there?
So it has instilled a sense of insecurity in you.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. So how do you deal with that?
I just deal with it by doing better or doing more or doing what I feel like is better than what I did before.
So you feel like you have to be better?
I do. Then, just in myself. I mean, like, just in what
I'm
doing.
You yourself is not enough.
So, like, I think I've told you the story before. When I was going through my divorce the first time, and I've had this whole, like, not good enough feeling, I would make, and I still to this day, like, I have to make my bed every day, right?
That is so strange.
I have to. It's, like, one of those things that if nothing else is accomplished throughout the day, I can go home, and at the end of the day, my bed is made. It's
control.
Crazy. It is. It's just, like, this sense of comfort knowing. So, like, when I was going through my divorce, I remember I actually...
Which
must
one?
Have eased first up. Or... This is the first one. So okay. I had two young kids. My youngest was 7 months, and my, you know, Luke was, he was not five at the time. He was like four. And so I took them to work with me every day because, of course, I work at the daycare. So I took them to work. And I would clean everything, right? So I had everything cleaned up before they went to bed. And I would put them in the car, in their car seats, and I would run back in the house and make sure everything was picked up. So this day, whatever it was, I must have been, I don't know, good day, whatever, and I actually left my neighborhood. I live in development, and I had left my neighborhood when I realized that I hadn't made my bed. It was like I didn't run back in and make my bed. So I didn't have time to run home. So I went on to work, took the kids with me, and it ate at me so badly. Like, I literally told somebody at work, I was like, listen, I've got to run home. I had to run home, make my bed, and, like, go back to work. I had to take, like, 20 minutes. So I didn't lose my mind. I would have been thinking about it all day. And I couldn't even wait till like a lunch break. I had to do it right away.
That is a sad story.
Isn't it crazy? I am not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I know it's crazy, but it's that feeling of like everything has to be done. Everything has to be in order. Everything has to have a place. And I've eased up on that for so much now. Like it's not that I still do make my bed, but it's not like it drives me crazy anymore.
So really it's not about the bed though. And it's not about making the bed.
No, it's about making sure that everything is done. Like, I've control. Done things. For sure.
See, I was trying to think if I had any... I have no issues like that. I mean, that's terrible to say. I mean, I probably should have something. Oh, no, I do have one. I can't call people. I can't call people on the phone. I don't know why. Just a thing.
It's weird.
I don't know why I can't do that. It's not a fear, because people said it was a fear. But no, it's not like I'm afraid to pick up the phone, because I'll pick it up if it rings, if I want to talk to the person. But... I just don't call people. And people have said this over the year. Why don't you call me? I call you all the time. Why don't you call me? Yeah. I just don't.
I don't know. That's strange. It's a little tick, a little quirk.
Well, I don't know if it's a tick. But
quirk.
Maybe a quirk.
Yeah.
But I, you know, that could... But, you know, I've started to think maybe it has nothing to do with the phone. And maybe it just has to do with me not caring to call them.
That's awful.
Well, no, I just don't... What am I going to say? You know?
I'd say that's awful.
Do you call a lot of people?
No, but I think I do have a rule with that too. Like if I dream about someone, like if someone's in my dream and it's something like I haven't like talked about, why? That's people always think go to the weird places in your dreams. It's not weird. Like if you're dreaming about something, or if I just wake up and someone's on my mind. So I wake up and like you know, someone's on my mind that I haven't thought about in a while. Like, not someone that I see every day, but I'm like, so I did this one time. I used to work with a lady who absolutely means the world to me. She still does. I remember she's the one person who later I thought, remember when you asked me the question, like, who do you admire? Like, not a family. She is my person. Like, for many reasons, I admire her. Her name's Carol. And I don't work with her. She's moved away several years ago, but she'd be my person. Anyway, I woke up thinking about her and I have to text them. So if I wake up thinking, I've done this several times. Like, if I wake up and I'm thinking of someone or someone's on my mind, I feel like there's a reason why. So I have to reach out to them, either a phone call or text or email. And I always do that.
Oh, see, I don't do that at all. First of all, I don't remember any dreams that I ever have. If I'm having them, I don't remember them.
Steve is that way. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, I can't. Nothing. So, and when I wake up in the morning, the only thing I'm thinking about is coming here.
Why do you not dream? Like, is it like a, why? Is it a thing? Is it like a?
I may be
is it
dreaming.
A medication? Have you never dreamed?
Yeah, it's like, medication. There was a point? It's all that medication.
No, like,
that
is there like a bed. Thing that like something people take different things that make them not dream or like not sleep well or sleep better? Like it.
No, I don't take anything to sleep.
Because right, you have nothing to worry about. You're shut your brain off and you're out.
No, I you know, and I go
I'm
to sleep.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that like different things alter people's things. So it's just a question. Like, what is it? Like
no medication. No.
I can say yeah. I don't know.
I don't take any medication.
But you never, like, even, you don't remember ever dreaming, even, like, ever. I think you're, like, a very small percent of the population.
Not really.
No, I think so. I dream vividly.
Like, what's a typical dream?
They're always bizarre, but there's always something that I can place, like.
Like, who's in these
usually,
dreams?
It depends. A lot of time, family members, or sometimes there's people that I haven't thought about in years, which I don't know why they
So you don't dream place. About people currently. You dream about people from years ago.
Sometimes it's current. Yeah. I mean, it's not always somebody from years ago. Sometimes it's people. It's usually like I'm places and sometimes like in those places, it's something familiar, but it's not in. Like I'll dream about in my dream, I'm at home, but it's not my home. Like it's something random.
Now, have you ever dreamed about Michelle and I?
I can't say that I have.
Well, see, there you go. Apparently we're not that important.
I don't think it's important people in my dreams. I think it's people that I need to like think about in my dreams.
You don't need to think about us.
Well, I need to like worry about these people or think about them or reach out.
I just don't dream. Now, I think if I would dream, I don't know who I would even dream about. I wouldn't even.
I can't explain dreams. My little one, my 7-year-old, came to me just a couple weeks ago, which was so weird. And he was like, just when he woke up, so you know, he was still kind of groggy and you knew that it was accurate. He was like, Mom, I dreamed about red last night. And I was like, you know, what do you mean? And he said, everything was red. He was like, you were there, but everything was red. Isn't that strange?
That is weird.
Red.
We were the color red.
Everything was red. Like, I was there in his dream, but everything was red.
Maybe it was like Moscow. It's very red in Moscow.
I Googled it, and I don't remember what it said when people dream.
Of course
like,
you would Google
like
it.
That.
You're one of those people who gets a disease and goes to WebMD and frightens themselves to death before they call
hours.
The doctor.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah, I know I do that.
We had an episode with that. I won't get into it. But somebody had a problem, and you could not get it. I kept telling you. I said, stop with the internet. You're driving yourself nuts.
I know. It was my little one. I remember.
Why? Why would you do that?
And I didn't look it up for the longest time. And my sister texted me, too. She was like, don't look it up because you're going to freak yourself out. And so I didn't. And then I did.
This is why. See, here's another quirk of my. I don't think it's a tick. But if I was ill, I would never tell anybody because of that. See, that I don't know. There's something about that. I don't know.
Yeah, but when you're a mom and your little one is facing a medical thing, you're going to figure out. I wanted, like, to have the most knowledge that I could, I think.
Yeah, but your friends will do that, too. If you go to, like, the hospital or you have a problem that is undiagnosed, if you have good friends, they'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then they start calling you. Are you okay? I don't need that.
And you don't need all that.
No, I don't need that.
I mean, I agree with you to an extent. Like, you wouldn't want people to, like, have pity on you or worry about you unnecessarily, or maybe necessarily, but like just to have the way that they change when they look at you or talk to you.
Who needs that?
I agree. I wouldn't want that either.
No, but you could not keep your mouth closed if you had an illness. It would be like
no,
all over the place.
No, you don't know about that.
No, I do.
No, I don't.
I do.
So.
I think I do.
I don't think so. I've actually thought about this before. Like what I want, especially like my kids to know if I was going through something like that. I've thought about it and I don't know.
So you've thought and you are just indiscriminate at this point.
I am. I'm not sure. Like, I would want them to know that things.
Well, can you hide it?
I don't know.
Some people can't. Yeah, well, yeah, I could. I live alone. Nobody'd ever know what was going on.
I mean,
on.
I don't know. Yeah, if it's to the point where I can't hide it or if I'm seriously ill, like, that's a whole other topic.
I would just stop coming out in public. That would be the end of that. They just think I finally lost
God's
it.
God's gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only thing I've ever worried about, and this is funny, is when you live alone, and I only think about this because it happened one time. If you got really, really sick and, like, something happened in the middle of the night, nobody would know.
Right.
Who would know?
No one would know, but, like, it wouldn't take long. If you didn't show up for work,
That's right. If I wasn't...
Like, somebody would know. I'm serious, though. Like that's how
let's say
know.
One morning, let's play this theory out. Uh-huh. I keel over in the middle of the night.
Let's not say you keel over. Let's just say you're, like...
I'm passed out.
Yeah, you're suffering laying there.
Suffering.
You're waiting for help.
I hit my head on the couch, and I'm suffering on the floor.
Yeah.
And you who listens most mornings, which I got to give you credit for, mm-hmm. it turns on, and it immediately goes to a repeat. On, like, a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
That with no apparent reason.
Right. So I would reach out to you just like normal.
You would message me.
I'd message you like we right. do.
Which clearly I would not respond.
Right.
Because I'm on the floor suffering.
Then I would probably, like, maybe, like, text Michelle. Like,
text Michelle and say, what do you think happened?
How much time in between? I don't know.
By this point, I'm losing so much blood that I'm going away.
So, but then I would drive over to your house, but I'm not exactly sure where that's at.
So you wouldn't do that?
So I would do it. I would try, because I know the vicinity.
Well, that doesn't tell you anything.
I'd just knock on doors in a panicked fashion.
But I can't get to the door.
So the guy who didn't answer, I would just
go 911.
Or like peek in windows, maybe. What is the right answer here? Or maybe I would just call the law. Oh, I do have your address. Not true.
You do.
I do.
You do.
I just remembered.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
I mean, I forgot that I had it, but I do have like school information.
Yeah, but you can't use that.
I would if I thought you were keeled over.
But by the time you got it, I'd be keeled over.
All my files are at home now. Remember, I had to clean up my classroom.
Oh, that's right. Well, but here's the thing. When you're alone, you do think about that.
I know. I'm sure that's scary.
Because, like, if you get the flu or something, you know, you tend to overdramatize in your head a lot of times because you're taking medication or you're feeling very rough. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, what? What now? I'm done. Uh-huh. But then I always think, well, I'll never know. So leave that up for the next person who happens to walk in the door.
I think about those things as a mom, too. Like, I'm the mom. Like, when I was living by myself with the kids, and I don't want them to find me sick. Or what if something happened to one of them? Or, like, you know, like, I couldn't, you know, I would be incapacitated.
I could not fathom a child dying first.
No.
I don't have any children, but... I had two who were around me for a long time who were not, and I can't even imagine. I don't know how people get through that.
I don't either. I have to say, I pray that is something that I never have to ever
they do.
Think about.
People do get through it. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed people who did that, and I say, how do you do that? And is it because you have to?
You have to.
What's the alternative? You have to. But, you know, that's the one, you know, you can be sad when other people go, mm-hmm. but for that, that would just be horrible.
I've been to one child's funeral in my life, and I've said to you before, I hope I never, ever have to do that again. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
The good thing is the odds are with you on that.
Of course.
They normally don't. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of times you get children who are very attached to their parents, mm-hmm. which is not a bad thing, but... Parents just tend to go first.
Of course, right.
That's the way it goes.
But I think that's almost not expected, because even when it's unexpected, it's awful. It's awful either way. But I think that in the circle of life, you expect that you may have to bury your parents at some point.
But you do.
Sooner rather than, you know, or later. Like, you're going to have to.
But you know, it's interesting, because I think what you do, I think that this is how you get through that. Because obviously both of us have had a parent die. And my own recollect of it is that... Because it's been a while now, but that you, because now I don't even think about it. It's not even a thing in my brain anymore.
Really?
No, it's really not. Because of this, I think they lived a good life,
right.
And they did what they wanted to do, and nobody goes on forever.
Right.
So we all have to, and you know what? I think part of the problem is people don't accept their own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
We look at somebody else who has mortality, and we say, well, you know, that's horrible. How can that happen? That's unthinkable. But really, if we really thought about it, the unthinkable is going to happen to us one day, too.
Sure.
But I don't think people ever fully can consume that about themselves.
I agree.
Like, I remember I had a relative whose parent died. And the parent was elderly, you know, definitely older. And it just broke them into 1,000 pieces. But they were not that young at that time because the parent lived to be so elderly.
Right.
You know, they were also AARP age. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, I didn't mean it to be rude, but I said, you know, I understand grieving goes on and that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. At any, but, you know, think of the age between they were when they left and that you are now. Mm-hmm. If you live as long as they do, that's not a whole heaping lot of time.
Right. Yeah. That person just couldn't come to grips with the...
No, I think eventually they did.
Yeah.
And lived a good life. But it's just, it's a... Death is a tough one.
It is.
Death is an absolute tough one. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you know, Scott, we lost my brother when he was 4 years old.
Mm.
And it works on us still today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough.
I said, I don't think you ever... I think you get through it, but I don't think you get over it.
And I think with kids, too, like, you're always thinking, like, how old they would have been and how, the life they should have led. And, you know, with adults, I think you're able to process the fact that they did get to do some of that.
Well, my mother said he was so smart, he could tell you parts of the Bible.
Really?
Yeah. And you people can believe that or not. But he'd take his clothes off at night and fold them and put them on a chair. Now, a four-year-old doing that, he ended up getting pneumonia and died.
Mm. Oh, goodness. Oh, golly. That's so sad. So you know he was, like, destined for big things, so it's really hard to kind of come to grips with.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we got a couple minutes left here, but, you know, it's a fascinating way to... It's a conversation because in this country, I believe one thing we're scared to talk about is death,
mm-hmm.
until it's in our face,
mm-hmm.
and then we talk about it. And it's interesting because we've taped everything that was ever on this station 6 years now, so we've got thousands of hours of tape. And it's funny because people who've called in sometimes have been family members and sometimes are no longer with us. Oh. Like Marge.
Yeah.
We've got years and years of Marge.
Yeah.
And there was a question at one point, should we take her voice off? Because it was on spots and it was on ads and mm-hmm. things like that. And eventually we decided no. Because why should it be different now? She did it. She was with us. She was an important part of what we did. She's an important part of the history. Mm-hmm. And it is tough sometimes for the family, to hear the voice right after.
Sure.
But it does pass. And then you hear their voice and you smile.
Oh, it's so comforting. Yes, yeah. I agree. No, my grandmother, I have messages on my phone now that I saved because she would call me, hey, Abby, you know, call me. It's your nan. You know, and I can't, it took me, well, she died it's been a year and a half ago now, and I probably just listened to the first one just a couple of months ago.
It takes a long time.
Because I knew it was there, and I couldn't hear it, but I probably have 6 or 7 of them recorded, you know, kept on my phone, but it's comforting now.
And it's hard to explain that to somebody, mm-hmm. that it does eventually get mm-hmm. there, but yeah, it does. And somebody like Marge, who did a weekly show, did 2 hours with us every week. You know, there was a lot of Marge.
You got a lot, yeah.
There was a lot of Marge on everything. And in the beginning, for her people, I think it was probably hard mm-hmm. that, oh, here's her voice. And when she's well. And that's tough.
Yes.
But now, even though it's been a short time, Marge just left in February, it's, now I think it's a reminder. It's good reminder.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And have those, I'm sure she talked about personal, like, memories and things that, that she did. And to have that is amazing.
Well, once you get past 500 hours, and people on this station, there are many people past 500 hours, mm-hmm. You're going to forget things that they talked about. And you can go back and pull those up and learn things that you never knew because people talk, like even you being on here. I mean, you've been on a few times now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forbid something would ever happen to you. Mm-hmm. Your voice lives forever.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody really wanted a copy, they're on the website. They're there.
Right.
People could go and hear you.
Right.
Like the podcasts. It's interesting how that gives you, I guess that is immortality.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. I mean, you're not here, but you're not with somebody all the time anyway. So what really is the difference there? That you can't call them after? I guess that's the big...
I think so. You just can't have that, you know. My grandmother I could go to her for, like, anything, and she would have some sort of advice or just an ear. And now I don't, you know, not having that, I think, was the hardest part.
But you remember their advice.
Oh, of course.
If you're around somebody long enough, you get it.
Yes.
You get it. And absolutely. You almost even know what they would say.
Yes. And I said it to you like, well, your nan would say that. Yes. And I say that to my kids, or I say that for sure.
The only thing I don't get is ghosts, because I don't believe in ghosts.
We're back here again.
Before I wrap up, I just want to say it was Michelle who said somebody knocks off a butter knife in her house.
It's a knife on her counter, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, is this what I want to do for eternity? Knock off a butter knife in somebody's house? No, let me go on to something.
I don't think anybody wants to do that. When you're stuck, though, I feel like those people are stuck and they have, like, things to
That would be accomplish. Stuck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the way that somebody may be letting her know that they're with her, and that's a comforting thing to them. I work with ghosts, okay?
Oh, man.
And it's not, I don't find them, I'm not frightened by them. Like, it obviously startles you, but now it's like, they're not there to hurt us.
What are they there to do?
They need to finish something. I don't know. They're stuck there.
No, I don't want to be stuck.
I don't either. Nobody wants to be stuck.
I want everything to be done.
Who does?
This has been fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun for you to come in. See, I put that on you.
It has been fun.
For you to come in.
For me to come in.
Yeah, for you.
Oh, it wasn't fun for you.
No, it was fun because I got a drink, but I'm still a little upset over the breakfast thing.
You're going to take that with McDonald's.
I'm going to have to take that with McDonald's.
You are.
But you'll be back more often now because your whatever is cleared up, your scheduling issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
like I had this sneeze coming on. What do you do about that on air? I don't know.
You sneeze.
I tried to like talk it up. Yes, I don't know if it's clear, but then life gets busy again in a few weeks, so we'll see.
You'll be just up the road then.
Right.
It used to be more often then. Now, I do want to let people know I will be back tonight, 8 to 10. It will be a great show, I'm sure, tonight, right here on WWGH Radio. Do you listen to the Friday night show?
I haven't, but I can try.
Tune in.
It's pizza night at my house. I will have a meeting tonight, too, which is weird.
Put it on in the car on the way home.
Okay.
8 to 10.
We'll see.
It should be number one on the dial. And stay tuned. More programming right after this.
This is Bill Macy, Walter, from the hit TV series Maud. WWGH107.1.com is where you find archives. WWGH Radio. They're radio programs dating back